This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So, Cameron, I was thinking this movie's called The Holiday.
Yes, sir.
And shockingly enough to me, who would think that, you know, having a big Hollywood career would be everything, it seemed like you took a walk for a holiday from your career after Charlie's Angels. Mm. For, you know, at the peak of, you know, whatever, you know, something you've worked so hard for. Mm. Why? How?
Because wow. Oh, that's a microphone. I knew. I thought that was just recording me, but it's amplifying me. I'm sorry. I'll I'm not really in any race with anyone. I'm not really in competition with anyone. So I mean that in the way that I'm just not, I don't think my career or my life is a competition. You know what I mean? So I don't feel like I had to sort of be somewhere for any other reason other than if I wanted to be there. And I just sort of hadn't found anything that made me really want to, you know, jump into it.
To go back to work,
yeah, because, you know, as we do when we're sort of on the beginning of our career and we're just kind of like, I was learning about filmmaking and acting and wanting to sort of just keep the ball in motion. I did film after film after film after film, which was amazing experience, and I was so thankful for it. But I got to the point where I was sort of like, I don't have a house. I don't have any place to put my bags. I haven't been home. I haven't seen my family. I don't know. I have no friends. You know what I mean? And there was a part of my life that was, you know, really going strong, but I didn't have this other aspect of my life. So much like Amanda, but not in the love aspect of it, but just, you know, in life, you just have to have a balance. And so I just kind of took a little slowdown for a little while, which has been nice. I probably should pick it back up, but I really like it.
No regrets then?
No, I don't believe in regret. I honestly do not believe in regret. You have to, you know, you can't. I've always felt that the movies that I've made were the movies I was meant to make, and the movies that other people make are the movies that they're meant to make. And if I see something that I admire it for what that person has done. I don't get jealous or, you know, envious. I don't believe in envy at all. I don't envy somebody else's, you know, life or what they, their accomplishments. I try to, you know, concentrate on my own, so.
And when you went away, so to speak, from your career, mm-hmm. you still stayed as this figure in the news constantly.
That's one of the reasons why I went away. It was like, I thought that if I didn't do as many films, then they would have to leave me alone, because as my mentality about this business is that this is my job. I'm talking to y'all because this is my job, and this is an exchange that all of us have, you know, we have an understanding about, and it's you know, consented. And I felt like, well, if I just don't make movies, then they wouldn't have any right to my life. And of course, that's not the mentality of that media. So I realized, you know what, I'm not going to be, if I make a movie or not make a movie, they're still going to be there. So I may as well do what I love doing and keep making movies. So, you know, I don't have any plans not to make movies. I just,
or
you know.
Or become a recluse.
No, I like life too much.
Okay. Yeah.
My house is too small, too.
Follow up on that, Tim. You say you somewhat like Amanda in terms of what you discovered. That's the live for today philosophy, which she doesn't seem to understand at all, and comes to the conclusion that it's not a bad thing to have. Is that what the conclusion that you've come to as well, as to live for the moment?
I've always lived that way, you know. I'm terrible at, you know, I'm terrible at making plans. I have no idea where I want. I remember when I first started doing press junkets, every single person asked me, and I think it was because I was new to the business. Yeah, exactly. They're like, so what kind of, you know, 10 years from now, what kind of movies do you see yourself doing? And I'd be like, I don't know. I what do you want to be doing? Do you think that you'll be, you know? And I was like, well, whatever I'm doing 10 years from now, I don't know if I'll be making movies. I don't know if I'll be doing something completely different. But whatever it is 10 years from now, I just hope that I want to be happy, period. And I don't know if it'll be making movies that makes me happy, or if it's, you know, whatever it is, you know, I don't know, milking a cow. Kind of on a milking a cow trip right now. I don't know why. I don't know. I just think of, for some reason, I have this imagery of like 5 o'clock in the morning, just like like sort of meditatively, like a meditation. I don't know.
Well, but 10 years on now, or 12 years on, whatever it is, how happy are you, and are you surprised you're where you are?
Well, I have no idea where I'm at. I am very happy. I can't complain, although I do. but I'm really, I mean, overall, I'm very happy with everything. You know, life is a journey. You know what I mean? Like, it's, my life is no different than anybody else's life. And, like, some days I've got it all figured out, and some days I'm like, what the hell is going on? You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just like everybody else. That's, you know, that's a human experience. The experiences, the terms of your life may be different, and what you go through to have that experience may be different, but it's all the same. The experience is the same. So,
was there any particular scene or any particular line in this film that really resonated with you in terms of relationships you've been in or are in?
Not for me personally. As far as, you know, nothing relates to me and their these women's relationships to my own. Other than I know that it's sort of, you know, like I said, is like the circumstances are always different. But I think that we've all spent either too much time in a relationship or not enough time in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I think it's so great with this film. It's so relatable. You know, we've all been through it. We all have had both of these relationships. And what it comes down to, I think, is that, you know, these women have not taken the time to get to know who they are. Amanda can't even cry. That means she's completely cut off from her emotions. That means she probably doesn't ever ask for anything or knows how to really give anything over, because if she connects to that emotion, she's going to lose everything that she's been trying to hold together. And, you know, Iris doesn't value herself. She doesn't know what she has to offer. She doesn't know what she's worth, you know? So she lets somebody walk all over her all of the time. And those situations, I think, are, you know, it's just, that's the human experience of traveling through this crazy journey of life, trying to figure out how to make love work, you know? And the foundation, I think, that love works the best on, from what I've seen as examples, as well as experiences, that, you know, you have to really know yourself and know what you're worth, what you're capable of giving, what you want to receive, and then know how to be brave enough to be open, to trust people and trust yourself to be able to give and receive those things. So, and that's what I love about the journey of this film. I mean, obviously it's a romantic comedy. It's light and love, you know, funny. It's humorous, but I think it's also very honest, and I think that's why it works on so many levels. It's not, you know, it's not this thing where you're going, oh, that doesn't happen. You know, it doesn't end, you know, you don't end the movie with these people standing on an altar together. You don't pan off the wedding ring up to, like, I do. There's still the question there at the end of the day. You know, at the end of the film, you go, will this relationship actually work between these two people? It's not about the end result with them. It's the fact that these people have decided to be open enough to take the chance, to take the journey of finding out whether or not this, you know, their love can actually work for any amount of time. And I like that, because it's not unrealistic. It's what we do every day. It's, you're just seeing how it goes.
I mean, this is, though, a very good thing about to Jude Law's character, about how intimidating it is for men to be with a woman who's such a success and has her own company. And that's something I would think would be the same thing for a world-famous star.
Well, I think that success is all relative. I mean, it means something different to everyone. I feel like with Amanda, yes, she's certainly a successful monetary, you know, she makes a good living. She has a big house in Brentwood. We all know how expensive that is. It's like, she has a great wardrobe. She owns her own company. But I think most importantly to her is that she's good at what she does, and she loves what she does. Like, she's actually successful in something that she loves doing, and she's good at it. So to me, like, that's something that I consider what is successful. Now, if you do that, you don't always make a lot of money at doing that. You know what I mean? Like, there are people who just do what they love doing and they're good at it, but they don't make a lot of money at it. That could be just as, you know, that could cause much problem with, you know, somebody who makes a lot of money doing something they hate doing. You know, they might be envious or feel, you know, inadequate to the person who's actually accomplishing what they want, you know? So you can't say what's going to be sort of that, you know, wedge in a relationship. But certainly I think that men have a need, an innate need, a very, you know, it's bred into them that they have to provide. And in today's society, it's about providing as how much you make. And they feel, they work constantly, that's their priority, is to be responsible for that. And I think that, you know, the ball is in the man's court in that case, as far as whether or not he allows that, you know, aspect of his life to, you know, be something that gets in the way with, you know, a woman. Because a woman shouldn't actually, I don't believe she should hide who she is or lessen herself.
Or feel guilty,
or hide any of that. She should be who she is and find the man who is, you know, strong enough to handle that within himself.
Right.
You know, just because a woman's also, you know, just because a man is successful doesn't mean she's a difficult person, or that a man has to learn how to handle a woman who is so successful, because it means something different about her character, that she's, you know, she's a handful or something like that. I think it's, like I said, I think it's about the man and his own within himself, whether or not he can handle it.
I don't know. I thought Amanda was kind of a difficult person.
She's slightly neurotic in some areas, but not bad. Like, she's not bad. She just...
I don't think it's perfect.
Yeah, she's not perfect, but I don't think she's, like, difficult. Like, there's no signs other than... I mean, she's pretty open. She's... The problem with her is that she's not ready to connect. You know, so she goes, come on in. And she's like, okay, goodbye. And she's like, all right, come on in. No. You know what I mean? I mean, that's frustrating. You know what I mean? But
right.
That doesn't have anything to do with the fact that she's successful in what she does. It just means she's unsuccessful in what she says as far as relationships go.
Do you think that she has, like, a sixth sense about, you know, Ed Burns' character to cheat on her? Mm-hmm. Like, do you think women have that kind of sixth sense?
Oh, I believe women know for sure. For sure. I think when you're connected to somebody, it's hard. There's no way you can't tell that when something's off, you know. But as far as that goes with their relationship, I think that it's not working on so many levels. That is not, you know.
Infidelity.
Yeah, that's not, yeah, exactly. That's not it at all. You know, it's just, like I said, she doesn't cry. She's clearly not, you know, connected. There's no communication whatsoever.
Is that difficult to play? Like, there's a couple of scenes where you're almost crying, and then you figure, you know,
yeah,
like, actresses got to learn to cry.
Yeah.
Is it difficult to play that and not cry?
Yeah, it was interesting because when you're going through an emotion, you... Hi, kids! Hi, darling. How are you? What are you doing?
Where are you going?
Somewhere else.
Okay.
I can see you later then,
yeah,
right?
Okay, good.
Hi.
It's kind of cool, huh? It's kind of cool. Everybody likes talking to him. It's like sucking helium. We have to do it.
Isn't it?
We should pass it around and everybody should talk to him.
No, I don't know. It's like everybody. I've been slammed before, and then other times I'm like, yes, this is awesome. You know what I mean? I think you just go through it.
But
having your heart broken is never fun, but you got to get over it at some point, right?
What advice would you give women if they were in that kind of situation?
I'm sorry?
What advice would you give women if they
were in that? Well, I say that it's like Amanda and Iris. You just have to...
Yeah. It's your phone.
Okay. This is
me.
That's
okay.
The thing
I think it's just like everybody. I mean, like Iris and Amanda, you gotta. It goes back to knowing yourself,
being connected to yourself, being happy with yourself, you always have to start there first. It's really awesome growing up in a very narcissistic society because we finally figured out that it's all about us, when all the time they're always like, it's not about you, but really it is. So I encourage you to figure it out within yourself.
What made you want to do this movie when you've been so, uninterested?
Nancy Myers.
Was it?
Yeah, Nancy. She's the raddest. I love that woman. She's so smart. She's so funny. She's so talented. The vision, this movie is her vision from beginning to end. You know what I mean? It's the first letter on the first page to the last letter on the roll of the credits on the screen. You know what I mean? It's all of her. And, you know, that I think she's so good. She's just the best at what she does. And
so did she give you the script, or did she just call up and say, I've got an idea for a movie?
No, she had finished the script. She had the script, and I did, I read the script. And
So can you tell us a little bit what's going on with the next and future Shreks? You're doing a Christmas thing and Shrek 3?
Shrek the Third will be coming out next year, and I would be happy to talk to you about it then. Because I'm not sure how much. First off, I don't know a lot about it. I only know my part of it. This film, we do it in sections. I don't ever see the other part of the film, but I know the storyline. It's a lot of fun. You guys will have like a really great time with it. They're so great over there. They just keep stepping it up every time, and it's a lot of fun.
Is it weird to you that your biggest, best known role is as a green ogre type?
Well, in certain circles, it is. And the 3 to 10 year olds, I'm really, they know me most of that. But I like it. I love Fiona.
What about the, when people step away, and then come back, sometimes it's like they want to come back with a new image or whatever. And I was thinking with you and Kate in this movie, Kate, since she's a teenager, has always been this sort of like Oscar-nominated serious actress, even though she's blonde and pretty. And you've always been the comedian and looked on as, the bubbly. Do you think you're undervalued in a way, put in a box? And
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Yeah. I don't think that there's, I'm not going, I don't feel like I'm happy with the things that I've accomplished. I don't think that, I'm not ashamed for being a happy, bubbly, funny person. I think that's just as valid as being the dark, brooding, tortured, Oscar-nominated one. Not that that's what Kate is, because I don't think that's what she is, but at all. But, certainly if you want to start putting people in boxes, it's like, I don't have a problem with it. I think that it's great, and I don't think that I'm undervalued, because I think that, whatever we all offer, I'm surprised at actually that people even want it. Like, to me, it's like, I think I'm, it's a, I'm not shocked. I'm honored. I'm really just honored to actually be in the position that I am, and that I get to share that with people. So I'm not going out there going, I need, they're not giving me, I deserve more.
My Halle Berry or Charlize Theron transformation role where...
I like to explore a lot of different things, and I've done a lot of different movies, and not all of them have been successful in the way that the ones that I've known for mostly for. It's like you just do what you do, and I do it for myself. And movies like this, I do for the audience. I want people to go and have a good time and laugh and enjoy it, or else I wouldn't make them. Yeah. I don't know. It's a tough question. I've been asked it a lot. I want it to be somebody different, just for once. But it always seems the person that jumps into my mind is Jack Black. I don't know. I think I go, who would I want to be? And then Jack's there in a blue leotard and a mustache, and I'm like, what would it be like to be that guy? I don't know. I'd like to know. What's that? Mixture is awesome. They're both such lovely men, by the way. Couldn't be, like, two nicer guys and funny and charming and down to earth and professional and respectful and like just awesome people. So, you know, they're great on their own. A mixture of the two, forget about it. It'd be crazy. I don't know if the world could handle that.
I'm going to talk to Justin in a couple weeks for Alpha Dog, and now that he's acting, mm-hmm. is there any thought of the two of you doing something together or never?
Probably not.
The movie trailer that the character makes, the Lindsay Lohan cameo, do you get a chance to meet her at all? Are you a fan of her work?
I haven't even seen that part of the movie yet. I can't wait because I apparently edited it. I can't wait to see the job I did, or Amanda. But I didn't get to see her on the set that day. No.
What's your dream holiday spot? You have to
go
anywhere.
I like to be near the water, so I'm always like kind of an islandy girl or the mountains. I like the snow. I like both.
We have time for two more questions, you guys.
Truth's character feels like he's being interviewed on the first date. Have you ever had that experience, and what advice would you give
him
on
the first date? I don't remember first dates. I don't remember first dates.
But how was that feeling, like, when you're there and you want to talk to the person?
Nobody wants to know that much about me.
I'm
just kidding. they just read all the magazines.
Have you ever had a life-changing holiday the way this movie is for these two women?
You know, every time I like to go on holidays with like a group of friends or with my family. Like those holidays are always the ones where I come out sort of rejuvenated on another level that I don't get when I go someplace. You know, that exactly. It, like when I'm with the people that I love and I get to share their lives, our lives together, then that's always the one that I'm like, you know, I leave that going, ah, you know, can't wait to do that again.
My apologies to you and my colleagues, but my editors want to know, what's the best present you ever got?
A can of whoop-ass. A can of whoop-ass. Have you seen those cans of whoop-ass?
No, yeah. Whoop-ass. Yeah.
What do you think of long-distance relationships? Do you think that they could work?
You have to be able to see the person.
Include the little girls.